Yes, the thinking is of three levels. First is thinking based upon ordinary observations. Observation is the starting point of real thinking. Loving other kinds of thoughts which arise directly from our emotions, impulses, they are also called thoughts. But the real thinking, real philosophic thought arises on the basis of the data which are presented and observed. So this is the first starting point. Even in science, for example, observation is a starting point. Observation, experiment, formation of hypothesis, verification of hypothesis, confirmation, repetition, these are the steps of scientific thought. Similarly, in a philosophic thought, observation of facts of life is a starting point. But normally you do not have all the facts before you when you start. So it is gradual building up. You observe new facts, you encounter new experiences. But during the time when you are investigating, your mind is observant. It's a specialty of philosophic mind, or a pure scientific mind. Developing an observant mind is a fundamental condition of rationality. One is purely ethical and not philosophical, he has no patience to observe. He is very impatient to do something and do something that is right. But if he has not arrived at this conclusion philosophically, what happens to him is that he tends to accept authority of higher people who are simply telling this is right, this is wrong. And as soon as he knows this is right, he immediately starts doing it. Because the tendency is to do the right. As far as finding out whether he's right or not, it depends upon somebody else, whom he believes, whom he trusts. So most of the ethical beings in the world are those who are not philosophical. And these people tend to accept the word of a master, the injunction of a friend, whom he considers to be much more developed, or injunction given in a book, or a shastra, or even if he attempts to a debate on the subject, his whole attitude is to come to a conclusion as soon as possible. There is intentions to do the right thing. So the process of arriving at the idea as to what is good, he wants to do it as quickly as possible. If he was also philosophical at the same time, he will spend time in thinking and will stop or resist his tendency to act immediately. And this is what happened to Hamlet because he was philosophic in his mind. So he did not immediately jump into action. He allowed some time to think out, even to verify the doubt that his mother and uncle were conspirators. He made a plot of enacting a drama. Indeed, the whole conspiracy of which he had learned and about which he was not sure, he got it enacted just to see the reaction of his uncle and his mother while watching the drama. So you can see how much he was considerate to the demands of philosophic truth. As to what exactly is the truth, he wanted to find out. He took so much of trouble, otherwise he would have murdered his uncle very easily when he was in a prayer room and Hamlet is just there. And he has got full chance of killing his uncle just at that time. But he doesn't, because he's not sure whether it is right or wrong. In the case of Arjuna, you cannot say that he had no philosophic training at all. He had. But predominantly, he was an ethical man. He was predominantly an emotional man, predominantly a practical man. therefore sensations, emotions, practicality, and ethicality. These were the fundamental forces of his life. And if you read the whole of Mahabharata, you will find confirmation of this description of Arjuna. Sensational, emotional, pragmatic, ethical. But ethical not philosophically. Ethical in the sense that he was prone to accept the truth or good as declared by dharma or dharma shastra or philosophers or the sages or great men. The crisis of Arjuna arises because a situation arises in his life where this kind of personality cannot answer the questions which arise in that situation. That is a crisis. All crisis is a resultant of the inner abilities or inabilities confronting the demands of a situation. And when the equation is disbalanced between the two, that is to say, the force that you have to deal with the situation is less powerful, less capable than the demands of the situation when one is put in a crisis. This is a situation in which the kind of ethicality that he was pursuing so far had no answer to the questions which now arise in that situation. In every human life, we find the questions of right and wrong almost at every step. What is right, what is wrong, we normally know, as it were. And therefore the life goes on smoothly. It is easy to tell the child leave because you think leaving is good. Isn't it? Because you think it is good, therefore we say leave. And therefore you have no doubt in the mind at all that you have given the right advice to the child. No question, no crisis. Go to sleep early. You are quite right. You are sure this is the right thing to do, and therefore no crisis at all. But when the child reads properly, when the child sleeps properly, and yet the child is not happy, yet the results are not commensurate to your expectations, then you begin to wonder what is really right and what is wrong. A question really arises when you really expect the results won't come about. Then you begin to ask whether your handling of the child is proper or not. Now, this is an ordinary kind of a problem in which you may perhaps find an answer more quickly after some reflection, after doing this or that, making this effort or that effort. By trial and error, you find out some kind of a workable formula. But there are situations when you can't find the answer at all. Then the crisis arises. On the one hand, when you must solve the problem, on the other hand, you can't solve the problem. When these two things confront each other sharply, then you call a situation of crisis. Till that time, your situation is of a problem, not of a crisis. As long as you have got elbow room where you can swim further, it's a problem. But when you can't, when on one hand you must do it, on the one hand you cannot do it, then there is a crisis.
And doesn't this crisis arise out of, because you don't understand what it means to you?
Yes, that's right, absolutely. The situation that is before you, you are not able to face it, and you are not able to face it because of three reasons. You don't understand it, or even if you understand, the force opposed to it is very powerful, and you do not have the means of meeting it. Or thirdly, even if you have the power, you are restrained. Even if you understand, even if you have the power to deal with it, but somehow you are restrained.
You are
gone from the meaning. You are gone from the meaning of doing it. You are changed, as it were. You can do something. For example, there are human beings who are addicted to liquor. Now, some of these people know what is to be done. They have capacity of doing it. But liquor disables him to do anything. He's changed. He cannot do it. Then the crisis arises. So, in any case, the general definition of a crisis is a situation where you must do and you can't do. And the two confront with each other with a tremendous pressure when you say, I'm in a crisis.